knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite unsingable. We're off and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 20th of February. The proper tip of the day is to take PR classes. Do that now while you can. This morning, the roundtable consists of myself, my friend Steve Benoon. His website is reallynewslive.org, and my friend Cindy Smith. And we'll be getting started here right now. Good morning, Steve and Cindy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. All right, guys. Well, Cindy, you're the political junkie on the panel here. Much of your time is taken up by analyzing and reviewing political matters locally and nationwide and worldwide, aren't they?
Yeah, I do spend quite a bit of time researching, reading, and doing news curation. It's part of my daily schedule.
Absolutely. And Steve, your interests are varied, and you're involved in research involving really esoteric things like translating ancient texts, that including the Bible, where government authorities are real interested in recovering technical knowledge from these transcripts, from these ancient documents, aren't they, sir?
They certainly are, John, very much.
That's something that surprises a lot of people, even my Pastor Bell was a bit surprised that the U.S. government is taking the time to attempt to recover technology and knowledge from these ancient manuscripts. So let's begin with Cindy. Cindy, what's on your list that's the most important thing you want to begin with this morning, my dear?
Well, I think the fact that Avdiivka has fallen and that General Sirski has ordered the retreat of the Ukrainian forces is a huge turning point, and it intersects with Speaker Johnson's recessing the Congress, so they're not going to take a look at the funding bill for probably 2 weeks. I think this is a huge inflection point.
Absolutely. Where do you think it goes from here, Cindy?
Well, I think that somewhat depends upon what Ukrainian president decides to do in response. I was just listening to some information that he's threatening to prosecute some of the Azov battalion for some of the actions that were taken when they were relocated to the Avdiivka area. And I think that's a real good sign that things are completely falling apart. The Azov and right sector and those troops are some of the most committed to Zelensky. And now he's threatening them as a sign that, we've turned a corner there, that the entire thing is falling apart.
Say again, who is Zelensky threatening?
He is threatening the Azov battalion soldiers that were relocated to the Avdiivka area because they realized that it was about to fall. And those are some of the most supportive troops of his regime.
All right. Steve, you got any follow-up on Cindy's comments here?
No, not on that, I don't.
Okay, all right. This battle in Ukraine starts its third year, I think, this week or next week, I believe. Isn't that right, Cindy?
You know, I don't have that
it's
date
committed
to memory.
We're
right
close
in the wheelhouse. Yeah, you're right.
It's real close, not that right, the exact date matters. And we being the West and the NATO countries, have been expending warehouses full of military equipment and ammunition these past 2 years, haven't we, Cindy?
Yes, and I think this funding issue is really kind of a smoke and mirrors, because many folks, Colonel McGregor would be an instance of this, have indicated that even if the $61 billion were expended, we do not have the material in a warehouse ready to ship. That's not going to result in, you know, in arms actually going to Ukraine in any kind of a timely basis.
All right. Steve, moving on to you, what's the most important thing you want to communicate with our audience this morning, sir?
Well, if I pick on pick one of the important issues there that's interesting, of course, Ukraine definitely is definitely topping the list on that. And but another strange thing that I got was let me see what the name of that city is. It's a city in China that had a sudden drop of temperature, negative 61 degrees. It dropped 45 degrees extremely rapidly in a province called, Xinjiang. And it killed the migrant birds, the ducks and stuff that were there instantly. Even the water just froze instantly. I mean, that's one of the craziest things I've ever seen, to have a 45-degree temperature drop suddenly. And it really lets you know, John, that we're moving into a time frame right now with things that are happening, whether it's the Hadron Collider affecting this, whether it's a binary system moving in that's causing effects on the sun, things like that. I can't really say which one or if it's a combination of the different events, but to see that type of a temperature drop that rapidly, that's kind of like what killed everybody off. I forget what time period that was, but it was while we got live elephants buried up in the North Pole eating grass still in their mouth, was because of massive sudden temperature drop and froze everybody to death instantly.
Well, those temperature drops were not a matter of 45 degrees, more like 200 plus degrees in a matter of minutes. So I'm not sure that's the best comparison. But where and when did this temperature drop take place again, sir?
This happened in a province called Xinjiang, Xinjiang, China. And different places dropped, they had on their a drop of up to 61.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And this was being reported, it's been several people that have reported it. I don't know if it's mostly Chinese outlets that have been reporting this as of right now. Showing the images of what happened as well.
Well, here in the Ozarks, we've had 40-degree temperature drops in 24 hours or 12 hours, and they do get people's attention, and life goes on. Well, Steve, I know you attend briefings where a lot of very privileged knowledge comes out, and have any of those briefings had to do with the communist China and what they're up to?
We haven't. The last one I had is what we talked about a little bit last week. We've been out of pocket since then there. But I do know that the situation, even on the southern border, there was a report that came out yesterday. One of the news journalists there, on Fox, was speaking there, and he's talking about how that his Spanish didn't do him a whole lot of good because of all the different nationalities coming across the border. And I think they said, like, the Chinese illegal immigration right now is up 4,000% on our southern border, where we already, in just the first part of the year here, have had 20,000 Chinese migrants come across. We're having Turkish migrants coming across all kinds of different places represented in the Middle East that are coming across the southern border. And you can't help but realize that this is definitely a planned destruction of this nation. And, you know, that's becoming more and more alarming. But, you know, John, in a lot of the meetings that I was in, you know, especially going back even 6 months, a year ago, this was a big discussion continually, is that all these moves were designed to prepare a unrest within the nation and basically cause ourselves to implode our own nation. It's not that we're doing it per se, but in order to create such chaos, and including another thing that was brought out to me in one of the last times we had this meeting, was that they're going to do anything they can to stop this election here, because they already know that Trump would be reelected. They said there's absolutely no question at all that he would be reelected at this point. And so therefore, they want to do everything possible, whether it be war in the Middle East, some type of a civil strife in this nation here that can justify them to declare martial law. And quite frankly, it's not even really even Biden. He doesn't have the capacity to even know how to make these decisions. But it's those that are running the country and behind him, more specifically, you know, I've been told Hillary and Obama both together run this nation in the background, and that Biden really he's only a figurehead, and they try to keep that figurehead away from the cameras as much as possible because of his failing health. But they realize too, though, John, that there's no one that they have that's electable. Kamala Harris, they know 100% is not electable. You know, Biden is the only one, as bad off as he is, that actually would have the ability to get the votes that they would want. But even under that condition, the Democrats realize that there's just nothing he can do. And they definitely don't want Kennedy in office. So they're going to do everything they can to subvert that avenue there. And, you know, so they're going to just bring it down to an all-out war in this country, or war overseas, or a combination of both.
So among this cabal of Hillary and Barack, they don't consider Gavin Newsom as a viable alternative to Biden, you know?
You know, I have not heard anything about, you know, his name has not really been brought up in any of the conversations I've been in. So, and there again, I think, John, it goes back to who's really running the nation.
Right.
And how, and they just do not want to let go of that power.
Well, the big question is whether Biden will even be on the ticket, if he can survive the next few months until the first Tuesday in November.
That would make it even more of you know, because, I mean, let's face it, he does have dementia. I know that. I know it from, you know, the medical reports that I've heard about from within in the White House going back when he first got elected. And the thing is, eventually, that's going to begin to affect the part of the brain that affects all of his vital organs. And that's exactly what happened to my own father. And as those vital organs got affected, you know, his heart failed, his lungs failed, and then you're gone. And quite frankly, I mean, I used to joke around back when I was in Washington a little over a year ago, wanted to be able to go to the White House and make that joke with the president that, you know, he and my dad both were a lot alike, two men with major corporations, both having dementia and can't run a thing. So, So they're pretty much neck and neck probably for time frame. I think my dad was a little bit ahead of Biden, but, at this point now, Biden is getting right to the same place he was before his passing. So, and I don't mean that to wish an ill fate, regardless of what my differences with him would be. But unfortunately, it is what it is. And they should have not allowed this to go on nowhere near as long as they did.
Absolutely. Let's do a segue here. Cindy, in your travels about Missouri, what's on people's minds? What's on their hearts they're concerned about, if you know, my dear?
Well, there's folks are very concerned about some of the firsts that are happening in this country, and commentary about, I never thought I would see this in America in my lifetime. Judge Uragan, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, finding Trump $354 million in a case where there is not an individual who has claimed that they were harmed by the real estate transaction, and these truckers agreeing that they're not going to pick up loads and carry them to New York City. These are firsts in America, and a lot of people are wondering when the next shoe is going to drop, and they're looking for the 2024 election. And they're saying things similar to what you two gentlemen were just saying about what kind of election will it be? Will there be an election? What kind of things are likely to happen for the powers that be to remain in control of the country and take control of the election? And I'm reminded once again about some of the globalist mouthpieces that have been talking for several months about polycrisis. And I think all of those things are on the table.
Absolutely. Well, going back to the judgment in New York, I had a real estate investment company in the early 80s, and not at the level of Trump, but I bought as many as 10 houses in one day. So these banks, and the banks that Trump was dealing with, some of the biggest banks on the planet. What the court is saying is that not only did President Trump lie about the value of the properties, but the banks themselves, conducting their own evaluations, did not know what they were doing, because they came to their own independent conclusions about the values of the properties, didn't they, Cindy?
Yes, they did. And that's how these real estate transactions have always been done. And my reading of the news media, I can't find any place where one of the banks said that they had a material loss because of the evaluation of the property. So it seems to be a victimless crime prosecution.
Well, there's no doubt that it is victimless. And these bank executives must be shaking their heads as to the whole thing taking place in the first place, don't you think?
Well, yes. And it's another one of those things where people are thinking to themselves, well, my goodness, I never thought I'd see this in America. And I'm sure an appeal will go forward. I understand that Mr. Trump has to come up with a bond in order for that to continue. So he will suffer a financial hit by going through the appeal as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what else are you hearing people's concerns, Cindy?
Well, we continue to deal with election integrity. We do have the caucus in the state going forward, trying to make sure that everything is in place for the caucus coming up the first Saturday in March. That's a big topic here in Missouri. We are having a caucus. We're not having a presidential preference primary. That also is something that folks did not expect to happen. I think a lot of people are unaware that that's going to happen in the state of Missouri. And people may very well be upset when they find out that a caucus took place in March and they're not going to be able to go to the polls later in the spring and cast a vote for their favorite presidential candidate on the Republican side.
That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of view to anything that could possibly undermine people's feeling that the elections are secure and full of integrity, and this is just one more wrinkle in that concern.
Well, these are very valid concerns also, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly are.
All right. Well, Steve, you attend various meetings. Anything interesting in a more recent meeting you've had?
Well, before we get into that, I was thinking, especially when Cindy, spoke of this as a polycrisis, and I guess that definitely is more realistic than we could ever even begin to imagine with everything that is going on in this world right now from every different possible angle. And as we look at even the political situation in this nation, we've never had anything in our history to even compare of the you know, we could say we have a polycrisis just in our political system alone, let alone the fact of all the other things combined together that create that scenario. But you know, as I'm watching this,
are
even
you sick
with
of censorship? TLB Talk is
pure.
TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this hour is sponsored by LifeWave, an excellent line of products that will help you achieve your goals when it comes to health and well-being. Details at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us my friend Cindy Smith. We have Steve Bannoon's website, IsraeliNewsLive.org. Steve, you were cut off in your discussion at last break. Please continue.
Where did I leave off at, John? My brain is trying to think of 100,000 different things at one time.
Well, that's okay. Let's just do a segue and move on from there. You wanted to talk about something before you got into the latest briefings, what you were doing.
Okay, yes. So, you know, going back to one of the later briefings there, and this was dealing with the Middle East intelligence source that I have there. One of the things that I've been really trying to follow a lot carefully is the crisis going on with, of course, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, the whole big ball of wax there. And he said to me, he said, Steve, he said, look, he said, for one, he said, you really got to get this. He said, Iran is not going to attack Israel. He said, they may, because what I was looking at was the meeting that was happening between Syria and that of Iran and their ministers, and they were threatening Israel that Netanyahu, this would be your last day if you continue to do your attacks against the people of Gaza. And so at that point, I'm thinking, okay, this is getting really serious. You've got these two countries, even though Syria is in total shambles, but yet they're still making the threat of war. And he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you, Steve, he said, look, he said, both regimes are on the verge of collapse as it is. He said, and the last thing that they want to do is to lose their power. And he said, the only way you will ever see Iran do a direct attack against Israel is when they have come to the place where they know they're going out. They're going to lose power. And he said, then, he said, and only then would they make the attack. He said, even, he said, look at what's happening right now with Lebanon. He said, do you see Hezbollah going to war against Israel over all the things that's happening down in Gaza? He said, no. He said, it's just limited little strikes here and there, little poke and prods. He said, even the proxies that Iran backs and funds, and he said, in fact, he said, they'll give all their proxies, all their weapons in order to let them shoot them at Israel. He said, but they will never go after Israel unless they know they're on the board, a complete brink of complete collapse. And so I thought that was interesting. And then when you really begin to look on the ground, yes, there is a lot of talk, but and I know a lot of people support Israel. I get that. And, you know, I would be supporting them as well if it wasn't going the way it's going. You know, if it really was a situation that Hamas on October the 7th came in there and really caught Israel off guard and murdered all these Israelis, you know, I would take a different approach than what they're doing right now so they don't kill so many civilians in the process. But let's face it, they just do not care whatsoever. And the objective is to totally not wipe out Hamas. You know, Netanyahu created Hamas. He's the one just in 2019 saying before the Knesset that if we don't give them money, we're gonna have to deal with a two-state solution. We have got to keep Hamas well-funded. And so therefore, they turned the blind eye as all the millions of dollars was brought in through that southern border. Now that they won't let any humanitarian aid go through, they would bring in truckloads of money for Hamas so that they were well taken care of, and they would be taken care of in Israeli hospitals when their leader elites and stuff got sick and things, you know. So, you know, listen, if you ever lived in Israel, and I've lived in Israel twice in my life already, been through a suicide bombing, I know how the Israeli military responds, and it doesn't take 6 hours to respond to anything. It's seconds. And people say, I saw they've given a lot of credit for the police that helped slow some of this attack down. And I thank God for the police. But you have to remember, in Israel, the police are military as well. It's just another wing of the military. It's not like in our country where the police is more of an independent entity. The police departments in Israel are military. If you go into military service, you have the choices like we have here. You have the Army, Marines, Air Force, and the Navy. And in Israel, it's the same way, except police is one of those branches of service that you do your 2-year mandatory or 3-year mandatory service in the country. So, you know, so the thing is to say that, oh, only the police could respond. No, there was a stand down order. And that's been reported by too many people that I know in power in Israel that have leaked that information out. And it was to justify this war. And they want to drive those people out of Gaza because they're going to put a canal from right there on the southern tip of the country, like the Suez Canal, but they're going to go to the Gulf of Aqaba. And it is about truly a polycrisis. It is because of the economic changes, world structure changes. Everything you can think of is about to change. And that's why nobody says nothing.
Amazing. Here's our bottom of the hour break. Call us at 512-248-8255. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a 2-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming. It creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to live in a community with like-minded conservative Christians, you might want to check out the Arkhaven Intentional Christian Community down near Harrison, Arkansas. Details at thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check out the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner will help you, and I use mine every night. So check out the details of the Energy Cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it, at thelibertyman.com. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us our friend Cindy Smith. We have Steve Bannoun. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And Steve, once again, you were cut off by the break, weren't you, sir?
Yes. And I've had all kinds of cutoffs this morning. So I sat here this morning for a half hour thinking, why hasn't John's called yet? But I didn't realize I was way off time base. Anyway, but yes, you know, going back to that situation, though, John, this is the reason why I think it has more to do, especially because last week I mentioned about how that China was working, collaborating with Syria already. And there was a great concern about that. But really and truly, in the scheme of what the plan is, it's no great concern because China working with Syria is about the Silk Road Initiative. The Silk Road Initiative is also a cooperation with Israel, hence why they rebuilt the rebuilt the Haifa port and are going to build the Ashkelon port. And then, of course, China will be very much involved when they go to build the canal as well. So it's all a part of shifting things the way they want them to go. But sadly, too many innocent people lose their lives as a result.
Yeah. And so Israel and China are going to be cooperating on building these things?
Israel and China have been cooperating for decades now. It was China that rebuilt the Haifa's military port in Israel, totally unchallenged, no competitive bidding on that project. I raised up a big fuss over it on our news program back years ago when that happened because they were also being awarded the Ashkelon to build the port in Ashkelon. And by the way, Ashkelon, demographically, for those that may not know, right there on the northern border of Gaza. So that might make sense why that this is another reason for the war there. And not to mention all the natural resources off the coast of Gaza that have been discovered and gold also underneath Gaza that's been discovered. A number of reasons why they don't want these people there. And China was getting the award for the Ashkelon port as well. But after we did that one report, then Israel backed off. They did opened it up to more countries to bid on it, but they still give it to China anyway. China and Israel are very much in cooperation on this. And, of course, the Israelis have already are heavily involved with the BRICS nations and becoming a member of the BRICS nation and dumping the U.S. dollar in the process.
Amazing. Panel, we got a caller on hold here. We got China, Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Yeah, good morning, John. I just wanted to comment on what Cindy was talking about there about Avdiivka falling and everything. And those Azov troops and stuff, those are the Nazis, you know, the Azov Nazi troops that have been, you know, in the background there. And Zeluzhny, who was the guy who was head of the military before Skarsky or whatever his name is, took over, he was in control of all those Azov Nazi troops. And the problem is that Zelensky's worried that they're going to be, he's sanctioning these people. And I mean, she was talking about how he's bringing them up on charges and things like that. And that this is going to affect him. And I think what they might be looking at is could be facing kind of like a civil war or an internal dispute between the Nazis and Zelensky. They may be trying to get rid of him and take him out of power there because they're unhappy. They're going to be unhappy about that. I wonder if she has a comment about that.
Well, yeah, Charlie, thanks for your insight there. Yeah, I think my read on it, the internal political situation in Ukraine is that Zelensky is probably more threatened by the Azov right sector Nazi aligned troops and influences in his own country than he is from anyone else. And so I've seen commentary for at least the last couple of weeks, folks wondering how long before Zelensky is removed in some way, manner, shape, or form, because the wheels are clearly coming off the military success folks that were in Avdiivka started retreating without having orders to retreat, and it turned into a very chaotic and messy retreat from Avdiivka, which is really a good indication that they've lost control of the military.
Yeah, that was my kind of take on it, too. I heard that also, that they were retreating and leaving without having getting orders from above to do that. This battle in Avdiivka, by the way, is one of the... I mean, I was listening to a commentator the other day talking about it, and they said never since the war began has anything transpired as quickly as Avdiivka did. We don't have any totals on the number of losses there, but they must be in the thousands, people lying in the fields and stuff, because they were trying to escape through minefields. And not only were they, the ones that could get through were shot down with drones and shot down with artillery from the Russian side. So there's thousands and thousands. They're saying now that the stench is awful, that the Russians are going to have to go in pulling the bodies out of there because the stench is so bad. It's just become a cesspool. It's really a bad, this battle was very fast for the Russians to take over this much faster than a normal, like it. When Bakhmut was taken over, it took months. This happened in a matter of weeks.
Well, Charlie, I'm hearing the same thing that you are about the numbers and about the bodies not being handled and the stench rising in Avdiivka. And I think the other thing it points to is that all along the front line, I'm hearing reports that the Ukrainian forces are very thinned out. And so, several months may have moved very slowly when they've taken over a section or a part of a city or overtaken a fortification. But the forces of the Ukrainians are so thinned out now that they're just rolling over the Ukrainians. I think the other thing about Avdiivka to understand is that there were a lot of fortifications there, but once the Russians have taken that over, there's not nearly as many fortifications in some of the other areas of the country. And so I think we'll see the Russians probably take their time. They're not going to be in any hurry. They're not going to do anything to unnecessarily expose their troops to danger. But I don't think there's a lot of fortifications left in some of the areas of Ukraine, and the Russians will probably move at will.
I think you're right. I think this is a major turning point in the war over there. But the other point that you made, too, about the money not being able, no amount of money is going to help right now, because it's in the resources just aren't there. I mean, you can put the money out there, but like you were saying, the shells and the armaments aren't there in the warehouses, and so no matter how much money you put, it's going to take 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 years for these weapons to be manufactured, these shells to be manufactured and everything before it'll ever even get to the Ukraine. So the question really is, can Ukraine last for 3 to 4 or 5 years, even with the money that we send them to help them rearm, whether they can last that long or not? It's debatable, especially as the way we see things are going right now. So I think it's a very important point you made there as well.
Well,
a lot of people don't realize that. They think we can just throw money at something that's going to be fixed, but no, it won't be fixed this way, because Russia's actually, by this slow type of war that they've been doing over there, have actually drained our supplies and drained the European supplies as well.
The supplies are a major issue, and even if we were able to get armaments and shells and supplies in there, the Ukrainians are running out of soldiers, and they're sending people to the front lines with a very minimal amount of training. And there's just not enough Ukrainians left in the military to utilize anything that we can send over there that would make a difference.
Yeah, thank you for your insights. I really appreciate you. You're spot on about what's going on over there.
Thank you, Charlie.
Spot on.
Okay, Charlie, yeah. Thanks for the call. Yep. Steve, you got any follow-up on what Charlie was telling us?
Yeah, actually, a couple of things on this situation in Ukraine. One, the life expectancy for a Ukrainian soldier is 4 hours. That's all they have is 4 hours is what their life expectancy is on the front line. That's frontline soldier, that is. And like they said, they are running out. But sadly enough, when we talk about the objective of this war, the objective is actually being met by what the elite had planned on all along. As I brought out Edward Hudeau, who was a former mayor of Kharkiv, Ukraine, was involved in the meetings with the Chabad organization about destabilizing and creating a war between Ukraine and Russia. This going back to the 90s, they were planning this. And it was to help kill off, as he put it, the Slavs. They wanted to kill off as many Slavs as they possibly could. So they would pit the two against each other. So in that regard, they're becoming successful. Now, according to DC meetings that I've dealt with on this issue, there's weapons over there more than you could ever imagine, but it's not in Ukraine, it's in Poland. They have slowly been building up, NATO has been building up so much armament in Poland, they have become the fifth largest military in the world. Not that they have the ability to really run a military of that capacity, but Poland has already expressed wanting to annex the western side of Ukraine in the first place. So I think what the objective is they're also going to use this to demographically change this entire region of the world slowly but surely. And eventually, as Ukraine begins to more and more implode under the pressure of a superpower war that they're trying to fight against, then what will happen is that Poland will get drug into this. Then, of course, NATO will get drug into this. So it's just really a stage that's being set. And we're looking at this from the not from the right angle of understanding what the elitists have going along all the while. They are really pulling the strings, but yet we're being gullible enough to believe their narrative. And so, therefore, people are not really paying attention to the true purpose behind these wars and why they're doing them.
So the true purpose is to kill off the Slavic race. Is that accurate?
That's only one part of it, but that's what Menachem Schneerson said in a public speech that he made, not public to the rest of the world, but, you know, to the Orthodox Chabad community. And I was a part of that community for 20 years, so I know a lot about them. And Edward Hudeau, who met with Menachem Schneerson on two occasions, and in one of those occasions, because of him being the mayor of Kharkiv, Ukraine, which was one of the biggest battles between Russian and Ukrainian forces that took place in that country, but he was recruited by Schneerson to be one of the politicians that would help to set this war stage up. That's what actually caused him to pull away from his own faith and religion was seeing this sinister plot going on. And this was even going on before Putin became to power. Putin was a good friend of his, another politician in Ukraine. That was Putin's cousin. And they were talking openly about Putin coming into power and that he was going to be raised up. They said he would look like he is for the Russian people when he went after the oligarchs and things of Russia, which were like reformed Jews. But instead, he goes in there and he puts all the Chabad in power. So, yes, he did look like a great savior of Russia. And Putin does seem to be outwardly like some kind of heroic figure, but he's not. He is playing for a globalist agenda. In fact, he's the very man who recently has, I say recently as of last year, began to start using the verbiage of we need a new world order system. And so this stage is truly being set, but that the Ukraine is just the first part. They wanted to kill off as many Slavs as possible. And if you ever look up Edward Hudeau, you'll see where he goes into this very in depth about he even publishes the speech that Menachem Schneerson did, and But the next stage is they're going to transform the borders of Europe. I mean, so when people worry about communism, oh, yes, communism is coming. Same thing with France. They talk about the revolutions and stuff. They were talking about creating another French Revolution long before we've seen the unrest that we see going on in France today. And they have been trying to orchestrate that as well. Now, I have not really quite figured out what the issue is about France. But in reality, it seems like all the western parts of Europe, and I noticed this when we lived in Prague, is that they're wanting to destabilize the what we would call the democratic values of the world, including the United States. They're wanting to totally destroy that and set up communism on a global scale is what it's really coming down to. And I think that's where we're headed.
Oh, my. Panel, we got a caller on hold here. We got Sherry in Kansas. Morning, Sherry. Hold on, Sherry. We got a break.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Company! Fix! Bayonets! Move! Ah! Right! Face! Hard! Hard! Column left!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. The panel, our caller is, it's like Sherry in Kansas. Morning, Sherry.
Good morning, John, and
Cindy and Steve. Let's not forget that Zelensky has not let anybody run against him in a new election because he canceled him. I heard Douglas McGregor on an interview. I heard it on Jim Fetzer's show. He played it. They were talking about this money that the Senate wanted to send Ukraine. And he said that a lot of it, that in debating it or something, they said that a lot of it would stay here because it's for munitions that they would buy from us. But he said that they're not even made yet, is the thing. So, and he, I think he said they may not get them for nearly a year or a good time in the future anyway. And, of course, he said, and the war's already lost anyway, but, I mean, and then I couldn't help but think about how Congress, they can invest in all this, you know, invest in things they hear about in, you know, in their committee meetings and stuff. And we know a lot of them are invested in defense industries. Any comment?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, when it comes to all these investments, they invest in those defense industries because they know good and well that they're going to create more and more wars. That's how they make all their, that's how they get all their wealth and riches. It's interesting if you ever take a look at who all invest in the different manufacturing of weapons. There's even, I believe it's one of the big arguments was the Jehovah's Witness organization who's against war and sending people to war, but yet they have their investment portfolio in defense industries. So it's, you know, seems like some of the people that will go around talking about all that no war are some of the biggest proponents of making sure they make money and profiting from war.
Okay. I'll hang up because I know the hour's about to close. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Sharon. We appreciate it. Well, Cindy, there's a lot of discussion about will there or will there not be an election the first Tuesday in November this year. Do you have any updates on your thoughts on that?
Well, I did see something interesting in the media. It was an analysis of who is it that the Democrats may be able to run in place of Joe Biden. I think a majority of people that follow politics closely are of the opinion that it won't be Joe Biden on the ballot in some manner, shape, or form. And the analysis said that a majority of African-American voters have a positive view of Michelle Obama.
Really? That's amazing.
That's interesting.
It is. We have a break panel. We'll be right back.
Health Simple with Colorado Shielji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit. is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.